Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Flying Sides, and Banter Podcast. It's the podcast made by superfans with superfans for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. Look, I got a dream, you got a dream. Hello, fellow human. Let's do the podcast. How exciting. Fake merge episode, Murgatory, Limbo, whatever you want to call it, we're here. And we get that great opening line from Tevin, which I love. Loving a bit of Tevin. And yeah, here we go. Merge has started. Are you excited?
I'm excited. I look more excited than you. I'm looking at you and you sort of look a bit tired this morning, mate. Like your hair's a bit all over the place.
Yeah, it's early in the morning. I had a bit of a night last night. My daughter woke up a little bit sick, huge temperatures, like 4 in the morning. So I didn't get the best sleep, but I'm here and we're ready to podcast. I do feel great now. Sun is shining after days of rain. And and like I said, it's a fun time of the game. We get to see our favorite players from sort of each tribe come together and do some good things and a lot of bad things, a lot of bad news from many people this week, which is always fun to watch. Because I love people who make mistakes. I love people who have no idea about social awareness or just maybe like to overplay a bit because they're a little bit excited, which is fun, It's good to podcast about as well.
It's going to be so much fun to podcast about. I think, where do we even bloody start here with Murgatory? Like, do we start with the good things, like the people that did good stuff, or the bad stuff? Because I feel like we're going to spend a lot of time on people that maybe didn't play this perfectly.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more of them. I mean, no one really, who played it perfectly, would you say? I mean, there's a couple that played it well, but there's definitely a few that played it poorly. And I mean, you can start with Mariah. And I guess that's where, the show finishes with her leaving. And if you want to work backwards, like, what was so bad about Mariah and what was she doing wrong? Because I have some thoughts about this.
Look, there's obviously the one thing that she did really wrong, and that is not sort of open herself up as a possible crack for Seagull. I think that is sort of her biggest mistake, is not looking workable. She looked like she was, and she brought in that she was like part of the team, which is, we're going to talk about a lot. That was not good play by Seagull, showing that they're sort of coming in five strong. It doesn't show that they're very workable. So she supported her team's strategy. And it backfired on her. It backfired on her. I don't think it was Mariah's complete fault. She definitely had outs, and that was to say that she was on the outs for her tribe, showing that she's an option for other people. But the whole Seager strategy is sort of what ruined Mariah's game and going with it. That's where I think the mistake is she went with the Seager strategy instead of playing her own game.
Yeah, which is, the Seager strategy to start with is just a horrible idea. Like, nobody wants to join the tightest block in the game of five, which is such a huge number. If you're a tight two, maybe, a bigger number can pick you up. But when you're a tight five, that is so dangerous to work with. Like, why would anyone go there? So for Mariah to just go along with that plan, when she just got left out of the vote, like, she's on the outs. Like, why not say, hey, I'm not with these guys. They just voted against me and my alliance. Like, I'm an open number. Like, oh, you need to be flexible. You need to be willing to jump because it just makes you much more, I guess, usable. You'll be safe for sure because, you have no ties to anyone. And people want to pick up those loose numbers. Like, the loose numbers are gold in this game, especially at this time of the game where there are so many people, I guess, in small groups, and you might need one extra. And if Mariah sort of opens herself up to Q and says, hey, I'm an extra vote for anyone if you want me. Like, I'm here. I just thought it was really poor gameplay.
Yeah, look, in this day and age, a strong five going into a Murgatory of 13 is like when you come out looking unplayable and unwaverable, then, like, no one's going to vote for you. Like, I don't vote with you. They're going to aim at you. They're going to target you. And how Nami played this was so much better. I feel like they pushed that Venus was on the outs. Venus obviously showed she was on the outs. Venus started like talking to other people and trying to make conversations, spilling secrets, whereas Mariah didn't. Now, I can understand why Mariah didn't. I can understand going with the team strategy, go with the team strategy, aim for the thinking that it was the strongest strategy. It was not the strongest strategy, not in this new era. It was very bad. And in turn, she loses her life in the game. It's that simple. That's where the mistake was, is going with the team strategy. I think being on the bottom due to Jem wasn't a good help for her. It made it easy for the rest of her team to eventually throw her under the bus. But she really had an option here, and that was to be a Venus, to express that she's not with her tribe. And in turn, she loses out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, the strategy in Survivor is to, once you, you know, get blindsided by the vote and you come back to camp, you have to be nice and you have to be friendly, and that is fine. But you should still hold a grudge against some people. You should still want to avenge your person you just lost. You should still be a little bit angry. You can't just be, you know, the Vibe tribe continuously. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, these are human beings and you need to show some emotion. I mean, not outwardly, but at least inside you, and have a plan to plot against these people who just lied to you. They just lied to you about Jem, and you lost your potentially number one ally. So it just wasn't, she was just a bit robotic in that way. Like, oh, I'm just doing the right thing. And sometimes Optimal Survivor, I say it all the time, is not fun to watch one, or it's not even the best thing to do sometimes. Sometimes you need to have your own thoughts and opinions and your own feelings and emotions and use them. Being an emotional player is seen as this taboo thing. You can't do that. But no, I disagree. You can do that and it can be effective. And in this situation, yeah, not being emotional, not being human costs her place in the game.
All right, yeah. Look, you did mention like this being the optimum play. This was not the optimal play. Staying five strong, we've already gone through this in this podcast, was not the optimal play. It was not the optimal play to go with this, and it made it easy for her to be the vote, to be voted out. They look like the tightest five. In turn, it's easier to aim for her instead of at a Venus, because Venus is well and truly on the out. She's a workable number for people from Yanu and people from Sega. She's a workable number. She's talking to people. She's conveying secrets. And whereas Mariah didn't give anything away to a tribal council, where most of the time the vote's already been decided. Everything's already been decided by that stage. And it was just a little bit too late.
Yeah, I think that whole thing at tribal council, what she was doing was probably the right thing, but it was just too late. She'd already lied to Q by that stage, and now she's telling him a different story. So in the space of less than 24 hours, you've told me two different stories which can't both be true. So you've lied to me before. You're just confirming what I believe in Q's mind. Another mistake I thought she made was when Q said, oh, like, who's your favorite player? And this is something which, you know, maybe wasn't a death knell, but is choosing the strategist of a season as your favorite player a wise idea? I think, especially like an Aubrey, who, you know, arguably should have won her season. Now, I don't agree with that, but, yeah, you know, she's seen as his mastermind. And, yeah, you know, she sort of looks a bit like Mariah as well, in that glasses. They both have similar hair. Like, they're the same sort of body type, same sort of archetype. Is there a world where she says, oh, my favorite player is, you know, someone
Michelle.
A little bit...
Michelle.
Well, not even Michelle, because Michelle won the game. So you want to lower your threat level by saying, my favorite player is Debbie from that season. You know, she was crazy, but I loved her. She was so much fun. And you don't have to pick the player who you thought was the best player. Just pick someone that is endearing, or that the audience even loves, just for their story or for their character type, rather than the gameplay. Did it have any bearing on the result?
Look, it definitely hurts. As you said, I don't think it was a deafening blow or a defeating blow. It just added nails to the coffin. It just added that sort of doubt in Q's mind that, oh, if she thinks Aubrey, who is such a great player, who is such a great strategist, is who Mariah sort of perceives herself as or has the most in common with, in turn liking them the most, it definitely hurts her game. And saying it to someone like Q, who's going to overthink it and think and then push that, and it almost, it gives Q a narrative to push to the other people automatically. If she did say someone like Deb, then it, like, there's, like, what's Q going to do with that? Oh, her favorite player is Deb. She's into characters, sort of thing. Yeah. Maybe she's a great confessionalist or something like that. Whereas, or even a Michelle, who it's a great social game when everyone can see that she's not playing the greatest social game. It's not as big of a blow. Whereas Aubrey, such a good strategist. Mariah's not seen as a huge physical threat, probably not seen as a huge social threat. Just pushes that narrative that that's who Mariah's trying to be like.
And it makes it easy
to target.
Out of the threat level she didn't need. Like, I've always thought, if I go on and people say, who's your favorite player? You say someone like Ozzy, who was like, I love the challenges. I'm here for the challenges and the outdoorsman. And I'm an idiot in terms of gameplay. I played four times and sucked every time. So that's, you sort of want to lower that threat level in that way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, but thank you for telling me that. So from now on, my favorite player is Ozzy, even though I could not stand
Ozzy. Perfect. Loves the challenge. Loves to build the shelter. Good at the game, but sucks in the strategy, which is what you want to seem to be.
Yeah, look, I think there are certain players that if you say them, like even Denise, like say you say your favorite player is Denise. Don't get me wrong, Denise is a great player and she was awesome in her season, but that doesn't seem like someone that you'd think as, you wouldn't class that as threatening, whereas Aubrey is just such a great strategist. She dominates so well from in the shadows and up front that... And you look so much like her that people can't help but make the comparison.
Exactly, exactly. You're too close to the archetype.
Yeah, exactly. Like people that say, or you say someone that's like a very common one, like a Sandra or a Parvati, like you say those names because everyone says those names.
Yeah, well, don't say Parvati. Don't say Parvati. Venus gets in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah, true, I guess. Okay, say it's Sandra. Okay. The cop-out is Sandra. You say Sandra. She won two seasons. She was a great confessionalist. Anyone but her, like, that's the only thing that anyone's going to take away from that. Whereas Aubrey is just such a good strategist that it definitely hurt her in this game.
Yeah.
And they pushed it. They pushed it.
No, that's it.
They made it easy to push. Talking about pushing. So when you're on the bottom and your name's being voted and everyone's telling you you're okay, someone else is being voted out, but yes, you'll possibly see your name coming up. What do you do, Mac? What do you do?
Well, I guess you don't do what Venus does. No. What is going on, Venus? People are throwing you lifelines here, saying it's you or Mariah, so you sort of have to vote for Mariah. And for someone that is... not immune. You sort of just have to go with it. You can't fight back against it. You can't make canon plans. Like, I know that for her, it didn't make sense. We need to go for Charlie. And I understand that. I get where she's coming from. Yeah,
I agree with the strategy. Like, it's totally in her best interest to go for Charlie. You just don't tell anyone. You're like, oh, this is, this definitely isn't the perfect plan for me, but I'm still here tomorrow to make my plan achievable in the future. Mm. If you're at the bottom, you don't try to flip the whole vote.
No, she's in a very precarious position, especially being, one of six people to vote for. Like, it's not everyone. So you have to really, really tiptoe on eggshells here. Like, you can't rock the boat. And she just didn't play well. I think what it is, Nami hasn't been to tribal council. It's 13 days into the season. So half the season, and she hasn't had a vote yet. She hasn't done anything. And what it is, she's obviously a fan. She goes out there. You want to play this big game. And for 2 weeks now, she's been playing Let's Go Camping. And, probably gets a little bit excited. New people on the beach. I want to do something. I want to make the move. And this is just too much, too hard, too early. At a time where there's so many votes to go, at a time where, like I said, without the immunity for herself, she's in danger at a time where you just need to get through the next 2 to 3 votes before you even try and build this resume, because you don't need to at this point. You just need to be there tomorrow.
Yeah. That's it. You just need to be there tomorrow, and the people in power get picked off. That's what we've seen from this new era of Survivor. The people that are perceived to be in power get picked off. They're the big moves. And then the person that gets them out goes next. And then the person that gets them out goes next. It's not smart to play this big, especially when people are throwing you a lifeline. They're literally saying, yes, We may see your name, but this person's going home. We know this person's going home. We want to work with you in the future. No, let's change the vote. Mariah, that's stupid. Let's go for Charlie. Let's go for Charlie, the nicest person on the planet, a person that probably has shown that he is possibly workable, even in such a big tribe like Seega. He's like very, very outgoing, very lovely when there's Mariah, who is a nice, easy mergatory vote. I want to say merge vote, but I can't say that because is this merge? Is this not merge? Oh, merge. Even yeah, Q tells us that it's merge and it's not merge.
No, that's it. I think what it is, she's met these people for a day at this point. It's very hard to trust people when they say, your name's out there, but I need you to do this. Like, it's hard to relinquish that control to other people and just have the faith that you will be okay because you don't know these people. You've just met Q. You've just met, I think Tiff was there at the time. Like, you can't be certain. So I guess she wants that little bit of control back in her game to say, well, if I'm not 100% sure, let's make a new plan. And it's like, well, you know, you don't have any power at this stage. Like, you don't have any alliance. You have no friends. And you're meeting these people for one day. So it's just too much. It's too hard for her to do it from the position she's in.
No, definitely. Talking about hard and people being in bad positions, do we want to talk about the challenge and how the random rock drawers stacked up against each other?
Yeah.
This was a hectic challenge. Like, overall, I think they handled it a lot better than some of the other teams in the previous seasons because, let's be serious, it is a reasonably similar challenge. They are running definitely down a similar sort of scheme, like with the boulder and stuff like that. Boulder. Like, getting up that boulder would be a bitch. And I loved the sort of ways to get through this, which was really cool. But holy crap, the underdogs really gave it a go. And if it wasn't for Hunter, this could have gone completely differently.
Yeah, I was actually shocked they got so close, especially like we've seen in the new era, this challenge has always been like the biggest challenge of the season. Generally, it's a bit of a blowout because like whoever has the big guy wins. And so, like before they even did the rock draw, I'm like, whoever's team Hunter's on will win. Turns out he gets all the men who are, you know, the stronger, you know, air quotes, stronger people, and they do pull it off. But yeah, really good job from the underdogs. I didn't think it'd be that close. But do you think this is too much of a reward? Like for one challenge, you're getting a meal, you're getting your merge buff, you get immunity, you have so much power at this pivotal stage of the game. It's so much to lose. Like, is there too much on offer here?
Look, we definitely, in American seasons, look, the winners get rewards. It's just what happens. I don't know if it's too much power. A lot of the time, especially in America, like say you win individual immunity, you might get even the final five, like they've been known to get a stake or something like that. Like that's huge. Like you, not only are you immune, but you also get food for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I don't see this as a problem. The whole mergatory thing, I don't want to get into that because I feel like we've gotten into that many times over the last seasons. But it's, yeah, I don't really see a problem with that. It's just instead of one person getting it or one person, like I guess the people that get to choose have even more power, right? The people that win immunity, win some sort of food reward, and then also get to choose people, they get even more power. So I see this as just another immunity with a reward coming through with it.
And this I put down the merge buff and immunity, but essentially it's the same thing because once you're immune, you have the buff for next week. Like you said, we've spoken about this the last two seasons. I won't go into depth, but I don't like mergatory. Like it's just a needless part of the game for me. What if they just did, yeah, merge now and just play the game from there? Wouldn't it be more fun for everyone? I think so. But like I said, go back and listen to our last 2 years of podcasts in this point of the game, and you'll hear all our thoughts, I'm sure.
And I'm sure we were complaining even before that to each other.
Oh, no doubt.
Even before the podcast started. Look, this was an awesome challenge. I really enjoyed this challenge. As I said, it's very similar to what has happened in the past. But yeah, as you said, this is the biggest challenge of the season. And it's huge. And we've always said puzzles are the great equalizer. And I think the underdogs, and I'm going to call them the underdogs, the unimmune people, I think they did really, really well to get to where they got to. And Hunter, who's just such a threat, like, holy hell, he is. Like, we talk about how going into the rest of the season, and especially in American seasons, strength and stuff isn't a defining factor for you winning immunity. Yes, you'll win some immunities, but you're not going to win all of them. I think Hunter has possibly the biggest skill set.
Yeah.
To all yeah. immunities that we've seen in the new era. Is there anyone else that pops out at you that could possibly be as threatening as Hunter?
Not really. Like, he's got the physical aspect. He's great. He's a tall guy. He's got that carnival game skill, like the throwing the bags, the landing them, the balancing stuff. He's got all that. And then we see him smash the puzzle, and Tevin calls it out. He's like, oh, Hunter's whipping through the puzzle. It's like, he got everything. And it's like, can this guy who is good at everything, he's good looking, he seems charismatic, can he make it to the end? Like, I think, yeah, he's your winner pick. He's pretty high on a lot of people's lists because of his skill set, I suppose. But surely he is the number one threat to win the game. Like, he must be the obvious target when you're out there. And I guess he's a shield for everyone in that sense. But, wow, he's got a big uphill battle. But at the same time, he's found his way into this Journey 6, they're calling it, which I think is a huge talking point of this episode.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I'm surprised it hasn't come up yet. I just want to stick on Hunter for a little bit.
Yeah.
He is so threatening. And as you said, like, he's a big shield for people. He's going to be that person. But if you let a Hunter get to that final seven, he could win out.
He could win out.
And not to mention, he has a hidden immunity idol that no one knows about.
Yeah. Like,
this guy is in such a huge position. His name has not been brought up. Like, for the first time, we heard something a little bit bad about him this tonight, and that was from Venus to Soda while he was finding the hot idol. Just, oh, he doesn't talk to me anymore sort of thing. And, yeah. Like, just her having a bit of a whinge. Not like Venus. Venus doesn't whinge about anything. What are we talking about? but yeah, like he's just so, like, to back him, the smart play is keep him to that sort of final seven. If you're a big player as well, you're high behind him, but you give him a little bit of rope and this guy will genuinely win out.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a great spot. And you know who else is in a great spot? You. Two winner picks already in a row. You're going for three, and this could be the hat trick. I can definitely see it. You must be feeling fantastic.
I am. I am very much feeling fantastic. I pick all my winner picks before the season starts. So, and we don't do that much. Like, Australian Survivor, I did a lot of research for before we did our preseason podcast. Before American Survivor, I don't do any, especially when Australian Survivor's on, because you just don't have time. So I came in, looked at him, quickly read a little bit or watched very short videos, and I picked him. And you could just feel his power and his aura and how he's likable, he's good looking, he's physical. Sometimes the big people get to the end. Ferris did. Why not see a Hunter?
Yeah, like, if he's got the right skill set to navigate that big threat, yeah, it can happen. It can happen. So, yeah, he's in a good spot. But like I said, there's a long way to go, a lot of twists and turns. A lot of these small boats, which, you know, they'll split the tribes up and do this thing. So this, you can lose just by a bit of luck. Yeah, so it's a huge game of luck. If it doesn't go your way, you can just fall apart. But that being said, he's got the fallback of the idol. So even with some unlucky things, he's still got a way out, which is important. So, yeah, look. See where it goes with Hunter, but yeah, you're sitting pretty with two almost three in a row.
Yeah, definitely. And look, it looks like he has a very good relationship with Liz. Obviously, he has his relationship with Tevin, and Soda still seems like she's on his side. And then, yeah, let's talk about it. The Journey 6, the plus one alliance.
Mm.
Like, this is huge, because this is very smart for Q and Tim. I think you guys discussed it. You and Eli discussed this last week. This is very smart. You get the big players together. You get six. There's a majority very quickly. Like, it's half of the players left in the season now.
Yeah.
Like, this is great gameplay if they can keep it together. Obviously, we'll talk about how Tim handled this. But, like, this is an option. This is just another option for Hunter. And I don't see a reason why he gets targeted if they don't realize how big a threat he is. If they're not bringing up his name, I don't see him getting targeted for two or three more votes, or even talked about for two or three more votes, unless he absolutely smashes individual immunity each vote, and then he's going to be brought up anyway. He's going to be brought up anyway.
Yeah, yeah, if he does that. But we laughed at the Journey 6 last week. I said, this will not work. How could this possibly be an option for Hunter and Tim? Like, they have their own people. They have options. And for Q, it wasn't the only option. He's down to three. He needs to make plans. So I thought for Q, it was fine. But for the other two, I was like, this is a baseless alliance. What, you have no grounding to sit this alliance on. Like, there's nothing to binding you together. So I just thought, well, this is rubbish. And, their plus ones won't want to be a part of the VR. But somehow it seems to have come together. And Q's trying to always eggs in this basket, and he's really trying to push it. And that's fair. Like I said, he's got nothing else. Minority.
He's got nothing
he needs that option.
Yeah.
And Hunter just seems to be on board with it too. Whether or not it's because there's other big threats there as well, it's hard to say. And then I guess we see Tim's lack of commitment to it, which is interesting. But yeah. It seems like the Journey 6 might actually work.
Yeah, I think Hunter, it's his best avenue because he is literally keeping the social threats like his tavern. Tiffany's obviously going to be quite a... I feel like we're going to see a bit more of her coming up. And then I guess Mariah on Seager, like there's your social sort of threats, even though Mariah, like we'll talk about that. And then he's got his physical threats like Q, who is out in front. And like Q showed that at Tribal Council, he's out in front even further than Hunter. And Tim, who seems like he's definitely not the figurehead of Seager, but he seems like he is, I think, to the outside perspective. So this is really good spot for Hunter. For Q, obviously, as you said, he has nothing else. He doesn't trust Kenzie. He's been pretty much like planning to get her out for quite a while, so he doesn't even have the Yanu tree. So like he doesn't really have that, so he has to put all his things in. And Tim, who is Seager strong, is it in his best interest? It's in his best interest to play it better than he did.
Yeah.
But whether he goes with it or not, and I think Maria has even more outs than Tim does. So, because she has, obviously, the female things already started coming up. She has Charlie, she has Ben. Like, as she said, like, Tim's like her third, if she was going to say. like, what the fuck was Tim thinking saying Maria? I don't know. He obviously, good on Maria. She obviously, like, Tim obviously feels stronger with her than he does with anyone else, I guess.
Yeah, because we sort of see him and Ben last week as his pair, but maybe it is Maria. But, yeah, I think for those two, like, you sort of just want to say yes, be in on that six just in case. I think having a cross-tribal alliance is a good strategy at this point of the game. Like, if we haven't seen anyone else have any cross-tribe pollination yet.
Not good ones.
No. So to have at least an illusion of a six, it'll get you through a couple of votes. It will. Like, it will protect you. So at least you know if your side's targeted, I won't be targeted because, you know, these other people have my best interests at heart, at least for the first few votes. It will be interesting to see when it gets down to sort of eight and seven, if those six are still there, who the last remaining people are to vote off and whether or not, you know, two or four of them jump to these other people to sort of get out the six. Because when you have a six and it's two, two and two, it's hard to sort of break that up because you sort of want to keep your person. So it's like, where do you go? So it's going to be a lot of fun going forward. I like this six. And if they can stay together, they will run the game. It's like they've got the half the tribe already. So it's a good spot to be in if you're one of them.
Yeah, and I think the big part is if they stay together, because let's talk about how the Seager couple is and how this version is, how Tim played this. So now you can understand, and I think he should have brought this up, is we had Tribal Council coming up. I didn't really get the chance to chat, and then I just got unlucky and didn't get the chance to chat with her one-on-one after. I think he should have played something like that instead of, oh, she needs to vibe people out first and then I'll bring it to her. I think he handled this wrong. I'm actually seeing Tim as being in the most powerful position but playing the worst in this episode.
Okay.
I think that's like he's in a very good position, not the most powerful in the game. I'm just saying he's in quite a good position. He has a few outs, but he played at the worst because he didn't show trust in the Journey Six. Even if this is a fake plan, you bring it up to someone. You bring it up to your partner so then they can play it as well. And Maria would have happily played it. I'm sure Maria would have, this is definitely an option. I'm definitely close to Sega, but this is an option that I'd love to explore and act like she's excited about it. But when she gets questioned, she doesn't even know about it. Like, Tim has not brought this up with her. And she's confused why he's invited her in. Like, he kept it to himself. He just thought it was absolute crap and said nothing about it. Like, he had 10 minutes when he knew that it was drop your buffs time to even just, hey, Maria, just quickly, I've got this.
No. Look, the time is precious out there. And like you said, he came back from the Journey, went to Tribal Council, strategizing, a lot was happening. And then drop your buffs. You're now collecting all your camp stuff. You're packing up the camp. You're getting on a boat. There's no time. So, well, I think as much as I don't like the way you played it, I thought Q could have just said, hey, Tim, have you spoken to Maria yet? Like, I saw you yesterday at the Journey and you had a lot on because you had to go to Tribal. Maybe you didn't get time. Maybe I should check with Tim first. So, yeah, a bit of a misplay there for Q, but... Like, I don't blame Tim. I genuinely believe he might not have the time. So I've got to cut him some slack there. But, yeah, Q should have just checked with him. I think Tim made a few mistakes this episode, but it wasn't just that. I thought
This is an important mistake to make. This is a huge mistake to make going into a merge not prepared or a mergatory not prepared. This is – I think you make time for something like that. Just a 10-second conversation. Maria, while I was there, this was brought up. This is an option for me and you. Have a think about it and get back to me. Something like that. Like, we've got a lot on our plate right now, but just this is an option for me and you going forward. Yeah, but you make time for something like that.
It's hard to get people one-on-one a lot of the time, especially Maria, who is a bit of a middleman in that last boat. She had the girls, she had Charlie, she had the boys. She's sort of with everyone. It's hard to get an individual conversation to discuss that. And make it make sense at the time as well, because it wasn't important right then. They needed to go to the boat with the Sega tribe. They weren't with everyone yet. So, yeah, I'm cutting Tim some slack. He got the buff last week, so I'm going to give him some slack.
Okay, I even think... I'm actually thinking that would have helped with that. Like, saying that to Maria, saying that, like, we're with you, gives Maria even more option to go with him in that vote. So... Oh,
I suppose. But Tim wasn't in danger, so
But well, like Ben and him were. Like they genuinely
Ben was.
But it's like he could have been Mariah this week. He could have been. Ben gets voted out last week, he gets voted out this week.
Yeah, but
everyone
Tim's
else
eyes,
throws him out under the bus.
In Tim's eyes, it's not him and Ben, it's him and Maria. So he assumed Maria would vote with him last week against Jem, which she did.
Yeah,
so he doesn't need to, I guess, solidify that even further yet because they're together in his eyes. She's in number one.
Well, I think we're at this stage that we agree to disagree. I think it just was not like you make time for something like that. Whereas you said there was no time, and I don't disagree that it would have been hard. But anyway, okay, let's talk about the feast and what Tim did wrong at the feast.
Yeah. I just think, probably a little bit too over the top with wanting to protect his tribe. Like the Nami's sort of just happy to, I'll give you a number. I'll throw Venus out. Happy to get rid of her. And, you know, which of the Sega ones is going to go? And Ben and Tim are really cagey and really not throwing anything out. Eventually do throw out Mariah, but I would rather have Venus and really pushing that way. And we've sort of seen in the last few seasons, I guess, the tribe that's willing to throw their number out first, it sort of does go that way. And I think perhaps being so reluctant to do it, showing that you're a five strong, was probably too threatening for everyone. And that's a big part of the reason Mariah sort of went home.
I completely agree. We've already talked about it. Like, Sega was too cagey.
Yeah.
They came in as a strong five, or they wanted the perception that they were a strong five. And that was the wrong move. And Tim and Ben played that wrong. They played it wrong the whole time. And in turn, they've lost Mariah, which was an option for them if they sort of went to Mariah before going to Merge or as soon as they saw each other at Merge. Like, play that outcast, play that person. We'll throw you under the bus. You throw us under the bus. Just know we're not coming after you. We really do want your number. And yes, obviously trust is hard, but she trusted them enough to go with their plan. She would have trusted them enough to go with a different plan, I feel.
So how do you, you're at the feast, let's pretend you're in the game, you're a player, your team, you're all Ben. They say, okay, we're throwing out Venus. Who are you throwing out? What do you say? How do you make it?
You say straight up. You're like, Mariah, I don't get along with it. Nothing works.
Hang on. Yeah, let me finish. How do you say, you want to keep Sega strong in the back of your head, but you want to seem like, you definitely don't want her to go home. So how do you approach that?
So you bluff it. You say, oh, I'd love to get rid of Mariah. I'd love to get rid of Mariah sort of thing. You absolutely push that narrative. But then as soon as someone starts bad-mouthing Venus, you hammer down on that.
You jump on it.
So you look like you want Mariah out, but then you double down on Venus is scheming. She's talking. She's given out all the plans, whereas Mariah hasn't. Like, Mariah could be a real workable number in the future. You push the narrative that she is going to keep your secrets if you talk to her in the future, but she might work with you to the other players. Whereas when Venus comes up, you're like, Venus is going to, she's just throwing you guys under the bus. If you tell her anything, she's going to fucking blow it up. And you've sort of pushed the narrative that you want Mariah gone, but fuck, Venus is hard to work with. Like, oh, she's really difficult.
Yeah, but see, Tim tried this. Tim was straight away, like, they threw Mariah out.
Yeah, but it was
out,
too late. But it was too late.
No. But then as soon as Venus's name came up, he jumped on it. But it's like, you don't even know Venus. You don't have any, you know, leg to stand on when you're talking about her. It's like when you talk about, you know, your parents who, you know, some traits you don't like about them. You're allowed to say that. But when someone else says that, you get offended because that's my parents. You can't talk about my parents that way. So it's like, if Tim starts talking about Venus that way, it's like that. You don't even, this is my Venus from Nami. You're not from Nami, Tim. You don't know her. You can't talk about her like that. So there's a little bit of that about it. Like, you can't be too forceful, I think. You have to be delicate.
I know. I like that. I like how you said that. And delicate, like, delicacy is really what I guess is the best play here. Is you push Mariah because you can. You push, oh, Mariah, blah, blah, blah. But when Venus is up, you're not along. You help the narrative. You help them keep talking about Venus. You don't have to throw her specifically under the bus. I think you're very right there.
I think that's right.
If you push Venus, yeah, you're right. If I complain about my parents, that's fine. If you complain about my parents, it's fucking punch on.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, no, I really respect how you said that there. He needs to be careful in how he does it, but he did come across probably a little bit too forceful and just showed his cards. I want to keep Mariah. I want Venus gone. You want to bluff it. In poker, I want Mariah gone. Venus, she's difficult sort of thing. She's told me all of this.
It's like a good negotiation. You have to be willing to lose, or at least the illusion that you're happy to lose. If you come in not willing to budge at all, you won't win the negotiation.
An ultimatum always goes the wrong way to the way you want.
Yeah. Be prepared to lose.
Anyway. Be prepared to lose. I like that. Be prepared to lose.
Your vote at Next Tribal Council. This is something Jeff would say.
That's it. I did enjoy it. Just quickly, just Hunter's. You're telling the wrong person. I don't have a vote here. I love that.
Yeah. That was good.
You're talking to the wrong person here. I got nothing. No balls.
He did ask the question, but so I'm back on Mariah there.
Yeah. I completely agree. Okay. Did we want to get into what you guys talked about on Survivor last week?
Previously on Survivor.
And take it away, Eli.
I'm going to go with Soda because she's just got a very over-the-top negative edit. So I will be surprised if it's not her, actually.
Surprised if she didn't go home. Oh, she didn't even look like she was going home. She got nothing in this episode. She didn't get much of an edit. Definitely still a bit negative, but no chance. You fucked up.
Yeah, sorry, Eli, didn't have it for you. You're very confident, which is surprising when there's 13 people, you know, 6 people, 7 people are immune. Yeah, you probably went a bit too over the top. Unfortunately, didn't pay off. But I mean, we all get it wrong, so no shame in that. Okay, let's look and see what I said. I think you're reading the edit too much. Let's think about it logically. We've got 13 people in the game. We're going to do a challenge with 6-on-6, and one person's going to pick a tribe. So we want a losing tribe of 6. We're going to go to tribal council where everyone will vote and 6 people are up for the vote. Now, if you're anyone in that game, when there's only 6 people up for the vote, you want to get an easy consensus vote where everyone can pile on one person. To me, it has to be one of the Janus where everyone's like, we don't know these people. We can all put it on. And the one person that stands out for me is because of Banu, labeled Kenzie the mastermind. Kenzie's this huge threat in front of everyone. We can all get behind that vote because we don't know her. We don't care. We don't need her number. We're going for Kenzie. For me, Kenzie's the fake merge boot. Kenzie will go home.
Yep. Look, I like what you said, but it just didn't play out that way. And it's hard, dude. You had a 50-50 or just over 50, just under 50. Direction that whether they're going to be immune or not, and who knew that she'd get teamed up with all the big guys.
Yeah, look, like these episodes are so predictable. I pretty much laid out the whole episode except for the boot. And look, if that tribe loses the immunity challenge, probably Kenzie goes home, I would say, because she's the mastermind. So it wasn't far away, but again, didn't come away with the biscuits.
Yeah, that's it. Didn't come away with the biscuits. Okay, well, let's talk about next week.
Next time on Survivor.
Let's go another Seega. Let's go another Seega. Oh, I'm going to go... Oh, no, it's a double boot next week. Oh, this is good. Okay. You're not going to like me, but I'm going to go your winner pick, Ben. I think Ben is the biggest threat without options on Seega.
Yep.
So he is the smartest play for anyone that's not in Seega. And then on the other tribe, I'm going to go, it's got to be a Janu. Tiff's obviously got the idol. I think, could Kenzie? I'm going to go Kenzie because I think Q is in a bit of a good spot. I think Kenzie gets blindside. That's a shame. I'm really liking Kenzie. Yep, I'm going Kenzie and Ben. That's a bit out there, but that's just what I'm feeling.
Is it? Like you just did that on the fly. It's standard. Like you weren't prepared. I wrote these things down. Yeah, they were my two as well.
Oh, what? Oh, shit. there you go.
Let me give you some reasoning. Look, like you said, Ben is... So I just think the Seega faction will be trying to like attack them again because the numbers are so fractured. To everyone, that's like workable cracks, workable numbers. So Seega will just go again because they're such a tight unit. Tim and Maria are safe in the Journey 6. Charlie's sort of linked with Maria the most. Ben's the old man out, so that's why I had Ben. And then, yeah, like if there's another vote, the Janus, I think they'll be happy to lose one just to even lower their threat level. Kenzie the mastermind, like all these things point to it. It does depend where, because obviously we're going to go two different tribal councils of 6 and 6. A lot of it depends on luck, where the numbers fall, but those two were my two highest candidates to go home as well.
Fuck, I thought I was going out there. I thought I just worked out something like fucking awesome, and it turned out, no, we're just too similar. And I think, I just want to just jump on that Seega point. Mariah in this last tribal council has reinforced how close the Seegers are, and saying that she's the odd one out, her now gone, just shows everyone these four are so tired.
Yeah.
Just shows everyone these four aren't going for each other. So they've got to start aiming at the Seegers. They've got to. And Kenzie has this threat from the entire game. This is like the movie's Kenzie. So that sucks because I'm really enjoying Kenzie. I really like Kenzie. Maybe it's because she was against Banu. But I really like Kenzie.
Leave Barton alone. He's been through enough.
I love Kenzie. Kenzie's awesome. I hope she stays.
No, she's good. But
yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do a eulogy, mate. You got a eulogy in there for me?
Mariah. Look, as a player, look, we didn't see a whole lot of Mariah. I don't think. In terms of the Seegers, she's probably the most purple, I guess. Didn't do a whole lot in the game. wasn't the greatest character ever. Made a few errors here about trying to stick Sega strong. And like I said before, like, you can't be so Survivor robotic. You need to be emotional. You need to be human and have an opinion that doesn't always be the optimal play. I think it's fine to have feelings and be hurt by being betrayed. And sometimes using that against the big alliance is the best way to go, because you're the number that everyone can use. So didn't play that well. Memorable moment. Look, honestly, I don't have one, because I don't think in a few weeks' time we'll remember this lady. Yeah. And will she return? No, she won't.
Okay, well, I've got a memorable moment for you. We had two of her on this season. and we've had one in a previous season that's played multiple times. Is that a memorable enough moment for you? She looks a lot like Liz, and let's be serious, her and Aubrey are pretty
similar. Yeah.
Sorry, that's...
I saw a diagram of... It was Liz, Aubrey, Mariah, and there was another one, and they compared the four of them as like, plays like this person, looks like this person, plays and looks like this person.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the fourth one was, but it was quite funny.
Okay, so back to Mariah. As a character, I liked her for her archetype, the sort of nerdy younger, like the nerdy girl that's not, I guess, doesn't have a whole lot of confidence. I think she handled it quite well. Her confessionals were very concise. She was a reasonable narrator, but at the same time, yeah, it's a hard archetype to be. Like, you're not going to be an Aubrey. Aubrey was a one in a million, and I think that's something hard to go up against. And then, as a player, I think we've talked about all the bad moves she did this episode, and I don't think it was completely her fault, but it was her fault for going with her alliance. So, and well, being in the alliance in the first place, she should have, like, it's in her best interest to flip. Marie has been, her best friend for so long. And then, okay, will she be returned? No, I don't think she'll return. One of her, will her or Liz return? could you return them both and, like, switch them out halfway through the season?
You get double the chance to come back because there's two of you.
Yeah, exactly. Double the chance to come back. That's it. You can jump between the two of you. And then... Yeah, memorable moment already said. So let's get to Buckle's buff of the episode. And where's your buff going today, Mr. Mac?
My buff's going to the guy at the top of the leaderboard. Q gets another buff. I thought the idea for this journey sticks. While I didn't agree with it last week, I thought it's paying off this week. And it looks to be paying off for a few more votes, I think. And just deciding to go with the Nami side of the Sega Nami divide. Go with the side that has cracks, go with the side that has issues, maybe has stray numbers you can pick up later on, was the correct decision. So Q gets a buff.
Okay, well, the truth is, he was the person on my mind as well. Okay, he was going to get my buff, but, and you're going to call me biased as fuck, but I think Hunter gets my buff. And yeah. I think I can justify this very, very well. He perfectly executes picking up the idol without anyone knowing about it. So at the moment, he's emerged with an idol that no one knows about. His tribe is the one that doesn't lose anyone. His tribe plays it better. So as a whole, his tribe plays it better. He's into the journey six, which is in his best interest as well as Q's. I think he comes out in a better position. He also has the plausible deniability. Didn't have a vote this episode. Sort of, I think that helps him more than hurts him. And for some reason, his name hasn't been brought up. He also smashed the challenge, killed it. If they work out how big of a threat he is, I don't think he's going to get the chance to get a buff in the future. I think he deserves a buff for this episode. Q is definitely coming out. At Tribal Council came out as the leader. And Hunter needs to stick behind that. And he needs a Q on his side. So I give it to Hunter. So, well, as you said, Q's on top of the leaderboard with 5. The only person that has more than one buff other than him is Tiffany with 2. And then we have Tim, Banu, Maria, Kenzie, and Hunter on one apiece. So this is I think this is very relative to the season. Very relative.
Q's running away with it.
Yeah. Well, Q's running away with it. I don't see him as the winner at all, but I think he has a very difficult way to the end. Especially like we see Tiffany and Kenzie talking about fucking him over next episode. So
Yeah, we'll actually see where it goes. I think he's doing better than I thought he would, given where he's come from. But he looks to be in a decent spot. Any win, it's going to be tough. But you know what? I do like him a lot. He's got a bit about him. Seems to be pretty like blunt and that, but he's charismatic as well. So he's got. I like Q a lot.
Yeah, I am very much enjoying Q, even if I don't always agree with what he has to say. I think he's coming into a good position. I think he definitely deserved a buff tonight. So I'm glad you're able to give that to him. Okay. Mate, what do you got going on?
Well, my weekend was supposed to be, first game of soccer this week. And, we had the rain. And now it's a beautiful sunny day in Sydney. And soccer's been cancelled already. So days open up. We're going to the pub for lunch. And looks like it'll be a bit of horse racing, some soccer and a bit of footy with a few beers, I think. So that's my day. That's the weekend. What about yourself?
Oh, look, I've actually got something else to plug that's not Survivor-related. last weekend, I went to the Victorian High Country, and I don't know if maybe I've given my mates an idea with the podcast, but my mate decided to tape it, and he's just released a video of our trip to the Victorian High Country. Look us up. It's Epic Oz Adventures. And it's just it's an hour long video. It's about all the beautiful views from the Victorian High Country, some, difficult four-wheel driving and some not so difficult four-wheel driving. The truth is we actually spent a full day pretty much on graded road at one stage because the tracks have definitely been managed. I think their council's better than my council at home dealing with the tar roads. It was a great journey for us and, just look us up. We're on YouTube. At Epic Oz Adventures. And then I've just been working and I'm a bit pumped for next week's episode. We've got Jordan Hutchinson from Hunted second season of Australia. And he's joining us for an episode of Buff Blindside, some banter. He's a bit of a Survivor fan, man.
Be interested to see if the Hunted, I don't know, strategy, paranoia can relate to Survivor at all. Because, that's a pretty fast-paced, edge-of-your-seat game. So it'd be interesting to see his takes on it, see what he thinks about Survivor overall, and, just get to meet him and have a chat with him. Should be fun.
Yeah, it's good. It sounds like he's very knowledgeable about Survivor. He definitely enjoys his Survivor. He keeps up with both Australian and American Survivor, so that's a big one. So it'll be very exciting to have someone, and we haven't met him. We haven't really talked to him other than on Instagram, so very excited about that. Okay, everyone, hit us up. Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter on Facebook. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter at Survivor3BS. And, of course, on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. Venus is a menace. Have a great day. Have a great week.
See you, Buckles. See you, guys.
See you,
have
guys.
Have a good weekend.
All right, bye.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor. We'll be right back.